be here.
Yeah.
Amen. We are continuing our journey through the book of Exodus.
Amen.
Following the Israelites. Before we go any further, a couple of announcements. Next week, for everybody here at the church, we will try to have a budget presentation that will be given by Delisha, right?
Yeah, as
another brother said, hey, I don't do administration, so we got to get started with these. I'm going to pass this around. This is for Miss Maya and TK, their daughter's graduating. So this is an invitation. So everybody can look at it and see the date. And they want to, you know, invite you. I think your graduation is this Wednesday at 1:30 p.m. at the Mississippi Coliseum. So we got a graduating senior there. She just wanted to make sure we were aware of that. Amen. Get my glasses out. You know, when you get old, you know, you need glasses to see. But you know, sometimes, if you don't think clearly, you gotta figure out the line of glasses. Sometimes, and although you have glasses, you need a big magnifier too.
Whoa.
Ah. Whoa, I can see this thing. I found this thing, fits the whole page there. They're like, oh, this is nice. So, some books are like that, but I keep it on me just in case. If I can get my glasses, I will put my big magnifier, we got it. You're good to go. Need a big magnifier. Oh man, Exodus 16 is where we're going to be. We've been following the journey of the Israelites and how God is being freed. Freed his people, and how God had delivered them from Pharaoh and through the Red Sea, part of the Red Sea. And after that, they praised God with song and music and tambourine, and they danced and they sang, and life is good. And now here we are a month later from that great event, that great miracle, and there's a little bit of rumbling going on.
Uh-oh.
A little bit of rumbling. You know, we can forget all the good times real fast when something bad happens.
Yeah.
But we definitely can do that. And I want to read here in chapter 16, verse 1. I'm going to read and kind of go into it more. It says, the whole Israelite community set out from Elam and came to the desert of Sin. It says, which is between Elam and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month, after they had come out of Egypt, in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. You know, I'm going to tell you that, you know, I think about that Snickers commercial. And, you know, when you're angry, you know, you don't think straight.
Yep.
But sometimes when you don't have food, you just don't think straight. It'll make you throw accusations that you shouldn't be throwing.
Uh-oh.
That's right.
And it'll make you forget all the great times and all the good things that God has done for you. It just seems to slip your mind. And they don't directly attack God, but they are attacking God, although indirectly, because they're attacking God's man, Moses. And attacking God's other man, Aaron. And you know, and when you lead people, it's not about pleasing them. That's what you gotta realize. It's about helping them to accomplish the goal to stay on task. Making sure that they are happy is actually a byproduct of following God, believe it or not. But the big picture is, you know, we need to walk with God faithfully.
Amen.
Whether we're in the valley, are we on the hill?
That's right.
Come on, Jimmy. Amen.
I appreciate Todd sharing that a little bit about, you know, just, you know, pandemic and just kids and everything. And even when he hit that note about kids, my mom was sharing with me. My mom said, you know what? Just imagine one of those kids could have been like some of these great grandparents who had 10 kids. That's 10 generations that nobody sees. Mm. And I thought, wow, that, you know, I ain't thinking about that, you know. But I think, you know, walking with God, God helps us to see the bigger picture, which the world is not seeing yet.
That's right.
You know, walking with God requires that you obey. It's yes, always the same. It never changes. Okay, how many pages you flip in the Bible, you always gonna come across the word God say, are you gonna obey? God said, I said obey in Genesis. I'm saying obey in Revelation. God said, how many pages I had to put in the Bible for you to get that I need you to obey? And when you learn to obey God, you need to learn to trust. You need to learn to be content and be patient. And embrace the new journey and follow without grumbling and complaining.
Amen.
Amen.
And although they grumbled here, I think we read in Philippians where it says, Philippians 2, chapter 14 and 15, it talks about do everything without grumbling and
complaining.
God knows as well, though. Yeah, so you can get it some kind of way. You know, but in order for you to embrace your new life in Christ, you must not turn to God.
That's right.
We can have a habit of doing that. When we feel like we've been slighted or we've been done wrong. We feel like, man, you know what? I'm going to turn to God because I don't like the way this is going. If there is one thing that God is all too well familiar with, is that his creation seems to always turn against him. But we need to change that as believers.
Yes.
We need to change that in our minds, our heart, and our soul. You know, we either turn from God, we either do it in words, or we do it in action, or sometimes we do it in both. And yet we still want people to view us as God. But to move forward with God, you must be willing to be unified with him in mind, heart, soul.
That's right.
That's right.
If you're not willing to do that, you cannot be unified with God, and you can't say that you are about God. You have to see the value in your relationship with God, and you have to see the value in what God is doing in your life.
That's right.
To be as you are. You cannot advance in life. You cannot advance, just say, in life if you choose to live in the past. Moving forward with God requires you to trust his process, his dreams, and his vision for your life. Will you stop growing? Because you have.
Come on, bro.
You know, you have the right to talk about issues or concerns.
Yeah.
But you just have to do it righteously. Yeah.
Come on.
There's a right way to do it. There's
That's
a
right.
That's right.
So will you stop living in the past? What choices will you make going forward? Most of the members here know that I've been talking with, there's a traditional church down the street called the Skyway Hill Church of Christ. You know, and I have a conversation with them. And I think about those guys, and those guys live in the past. They don't even have nothing to do with them, with our movement. But they are aware of it. You know, and one thing I share with him, and I shared with the group here before, you know, that we have the ability to make choice. We've been given that privilege to have a state zone. And I always tell people, you know, you can't change your past, but you can choose your future.
Yep.
You just have to choose to want to go forward.
Yeah.
That's it. You have to choose to want to go forward. Every man and woman that has ever existed before us, that exists in this town with us, is going to come after us. They're going to be the same way. I wish I could go back and do this. I wish I could go back and do that.
Uh-huh.
I wish I'd do it better. But you can't. Right. You have to choose to embrace what the future is going forward. The choice you make today will determine your tomorrow.
That's right.
The Israelites here are, pining over, it was good when I was back in slavery and oppressed because
right.
I had food.
Right.
Come on.
Okay, let me get this right. You said it was good when you all your rights were taken away as long as they gave you food.
Yep.
They're not thinking straight. And God's like, I'm promising you a better future. Picking up verse 4, it says, the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out and each day gather enough for that day. Once again, gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them. Get that. I will test them and see whether they will follow my instruction. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gathered on the other days. So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, in the evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us?
Come on.
Moses also said, you will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord. Then Moses told Aaron, say to the entire Israelite community, come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling. While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. That evening, quail came and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was layers of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent." The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some gathered little. And when they measured it by the omer, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Everyone had gathered just as much as they needed. Then Moses said to them, "No one is to keep any of it till morning." However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it till morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. Point two, human life is a probation period.
Right?
That's right.
You know, this life we live is not meant to last, but the life to come is.
Yes.
That's what we got to realize. Those whom God has considered his own, and they in return have responded to his call, will be tested to see if they are true. We cannot think that we're going to go through life and not have no test or no trial.
That's
you
right.
You just can't. But God's trying to test you to see, like, hey, are you really on team God? Are you really on team God? Are you really with me? Or are you just with me because I can give you some food? Abraham was tested. Jacob was tested. Even the 12 disciples were tested.
Mm-hmm.
And you also are being tested daily.
That's right.
Come on.
God knows you can do it. And he knows when you are choosing not to do it. You ask, do what? What is God asking? He is asking you to simply follow instructions. That's all. So God hears the grumble about their need for food. Ain't that something in verse 4?
Mm-hmm.
And in verse 13 and 15, he provides them. He gives them chicken at night and some bread in the morning. Man, what a great meal. But he also gives specific instructions about not keeping leftovers. Now, I don't know about you, but I grew up with a lot of leftovers.
Yeah, buddy.
And sometimes the food the day after tasted a lot better than was cooked the day before.
Come on. Yep.
It just is.
Nothing wrong with it.
But it's kind of hard when the Lord said, hey, don't keep nothing left over.
That's
especially
right.
When you used to making leftovers. You're like, Lord, have mercy. But Lord, you know, this stew beef will be good the next day. You know, it's gonna be the got a little marinade in, a little prime, you know. You know, we get to think in all kind of ways. But the Lord's like, I just need you to follow some instructions. And it's sad to say there will always be a few who will not comply with instructions or orders that is given.
That's right.
And you and I have been in that few at one time or another in life.
That's right.
That's sad to say, but we have been in that few at one
time
or another.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have you received instructions?
Come on.
Whether it be from a pulpit, be from a job leader, from a manager, from a volunteer leader, and you intentionally ignore it, say, girl, I don't care what they say, but I'm going to do this. Man, I don't care what they say, but I'm going to do this. You just said it in your mind. Yeah, I've been this mirror and they can say, come on, we're going to do this, follow me. And you lead somebody else into the same mess of sin you go.
Yeah, buddy.
Oh, man. My dad used to say, a hard head makes a soft bottom.
That's right.
And mine has been tested plenty of times. You ain't been kidding around. Yes, it has. You know, in this life, something I've learned, and something that the Israelites, they were learning. I don't think they grabbed the concept right here. But in this life, you only go this way once. So you need to make every effort to get it right.
Yes.
Yes.
There is no duel.
Right.
There is no go back to the beginning.
You're not the maggots.
You're only going this way one time.
That's right.
You put all your effort into doing it right. God loves you, and God wants to test you to make sure that he can live with you forever. Did you get this? Mm-hmm. Human life is a probation period. God said, let's see, can you and I coexist right here now? Because if you can follow instructions here on this life, which is limited, then I know I can live with you in a place called forever where life has no limit.
That's right.
You know it's challenging to live with various people at various times in their life. And you're like, ah, I don't think it's gonna work out. You're gonna have to go. I don't know, you know, it's challenging. It just is.
Yeah.
You know, but God's like, I don't want it to be like that with us. God said, I want you in forever with me. But in order for you to be in there for me, I need you to follow instructions. Can you do that?
Yeah.
Right.
Can you take your marching orders from me and just follow with a happy heart? Remember that, don't you? Do it with a happy heart, don't you? You ain't better look happy on the outside, man. I'm boiling like all kind of things. I show you a happy heart, me there behind the church building. You know, we've dealt those ways. God wants you in eternity. This life is a probation period. And what you do in this life will determine if you will hear those awesome, awesome words that said, job well done, good and faithful. Who?
Servant.
Come on. Take care of this life. You only go this way once. So these guys complain, they ignore Moses. Even Moses told them, guess what? You're not grumbling against me, you're grumbling against God. Apparently they didn't listen. They didn't listen. They said, whatever, we're going to get some bread the next day. Maggots and they rot. Wow. Pick it up in verse 21, it says, each morning, everyone gathered as much as they could. And when the sun grew hot, it melted away. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much. Why the sixth day? It says, for each person, and the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. He said to them, this is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of Sabbath rest. A holy day. Holy meaning pure. A pure day to the Lord. It says, to bake what you want, to bake and boil what you want to boil. He said, So bake what you want and to bake and boil what you want to boil. He says, save whatever is left and keep it until morning. So they saved it until morning as Moses commanded. It did not stink or get maggots in it. You get that?
How about that?
You followed instructions and guess what? The leftovers are good now.
No maggots.
Imagine that.
But see, when you take it upon yourself to disobey, God says, okay, it's going to rot. Ain't going to be no good. Follow instructions. Wow. It says, eat it today, Moses said, because today is the Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any of it on the ground today. 6 days you are to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any. Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the one day. Man, following instructions is hard for some reason. Out on the seventh day to gather it, but they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why on the sixth day he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where they are on the seventh day. No one is to go out. So the people rested on the seventh day. The people of Israel called the bread manna. It was white like coriander seed and tasted like wafers. Made with honey. That's a good bread there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Moses said, this is what the Lord has commanded. Take an armor of manna and keep it for the generations to come. So they can see the bread I gave you to eat in the wilderness when I brought you out of Egypt. So Moses said to Aaron, take a jar and put an armor of manna in it. Then place it before the Lord to be kept for the generations to come. As the Lord commanded Moses, Aaron put the manna with the tablets of the covenant law so that it might be preserved. The Israelites ate manna 40 years until they came to a land that was settled. They ate manna until they reached the border of Canaan. Wow. God made sure they did not go without.
Uh-huh.
Final point, guys, is have respect for God.
Yes.
Amen.
Have respect for God. We talked about seeing the value. I talked about even this life as obeying fear, but let's have respect for God. You know, obeying is about learning to go this far and then go no further. Go as far as God has commanded you and then go no further. Remember, your instructions in this life came before your interactions with the world. The respect you have for God should show up in your life daily.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, we moved recently here a while back last year, and we We rented a home. And little did we know, there's an HOA in the community. And so, you know, we're in the community room, HOA, and we just happen to live across the street from, I call her the enforcer. She's a nice lady, but she enforces it. So several things, you know, we try to set up the front yard, can't do that. Okay, no problem. We try to park a certain way, you can't do that. That's okay.
Is it okay?
It's okay, it's okay. And my son, like, Aaron, like, Dad, I said, it's all right. Okay, let's do what we need to do. You know, struggle there, but we're going to comply. But what I learned in that time was that my conflict is not with the HOA or with her. My conflict is with following God's instruction.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
That's what I learned. I tend to put a face on people like, well, they're telling me to do this, but hold on, wait a minute. Long before I moved here, long before an HOA was created, God said, Sydney, I need you to be a representative of me. You need to shine like Christ. What would Christ do?
Yeah. Come on.
Somebody's going to change the rules. You're going to bark at people, make things happen. Well, we'll comply. Now we wait, we talk, we have fun because I complied with God, not necessarily with her. Wow. We talk, we say hi, we say, get along good. That's it.
Amen.
But I had to realize my issue was not with her, it's with obeying God.
Okay. Come on.
That's it. Confidence. Mm. Confidence. Mm. God says, need you to obey all instructions that were in place. Long before you got there. You know, working on my book, working with my publisher. You know, it's going through Thomas Nelson, Zondervan, who writes NIV.
Oh, yeah.
They have a company called Spoke Press. So they've been great, but you learn some things. God's timing is a true thing. Although I struggle with God's timing at times, it's a true thing. And so with God's timing, what I've learned is, this is the right time for my book to come out. Because I send my manuscript off and they send it back and say, wait, you gotta change some things. Caught me a few years back, I ain't changing nothing. This is what this is gonna be, this is it. I ain't changing nothing. You're not working on this book. And no. I said, okay, you can change it. Let me be somebody. So I send it back again. They send it back again. I say, well, you gotta change this. I said, okay. And so several things they're like, look, they believe that. A couple things to say. When you cite any scriptures from the Bible, especially when you say Jesus said, God said, we consider that the voice of God. So you're going to have to cite that word for word. So like, and you look up, if you do research in Strong's on certain things like blessed, it means happiness. And I said, well, the scripture, you know, I'm trying to make it relatable. I said, well, you know, happy is the man who obeys God. She said, It's got to say blessed rather than the man who obeys God. I said, okay, we can do that. And I say, well, can I put a paraphrase here? You can paraphrase up under there, but you're going to put that scripture right. See, my conflict's not with them. My conflict's with God.
Right.
I said, all right. Hey, man, I'm a following Coast Guard. I'm hiring you guys to follow instructions. So you believe? I also learned something new, something that blew my mind. She said, Mr. Dockery, I see you got these other scriptures cited, but they're from different Bibles. I said, no, I went to the Strong's Dictionary, and I did my research. She said, well, go to this site here, and let me show you something. I said, oh, okay. So they had this word in NSB and ESB and all this. She said, you got to cite all those Bibles. She said, but get rid of that being. I said, why is that? She said, believe it or not, in our world, the Bible has been copyrighted by several different entities. And you can be sued.
Wow.
I learned it, but I said, well, hey, this is the word of God. She said, yes, Mr. Darkey, but we explicitly do NIV, and even though you got it from the Strong's, but because that word shows up in the NASB Bible, they can sue you.
Oh, my.
So you got to cite it.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
I said, okay, Lord, amen. My conflict's not with you.
Amen.
My conflict, I got to do. God, hey, amen. I'm going to do what he asked me to do.
Amen.
See, following instructions, man, your heart has to be in the right place.
Yeah.
Because it's little things like that that'll make you like, it's rubbing me the wrong way. Or as some people in Mississippi would say, I'm feeling some kind of way right about now. I'm feeling some kind of way.
Yeah, buddy.
But I know I want to get the goal accomplished. It's like God with the Israelites. It's like, I want you guys to make it. I want you to see this vision, this dream come alive. Just do what they're telling you. Is it going to kill you? They don't. Get along with the HOA lady over there.
Amen.
We talk a lot.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, we hang out and talk to all the neighbors. And the crazy thing about it is, there's some other people she writes, and they like ignore her. And it's so typical to say, well, they're not doing it. But God said, you're not them.
That's right.
That's right. Follow the instructions.
That's right.
It works good. Right. The book, we get along fine. It's like, whatever I need to do.
Amen.
That's the heart. That's what the heart is. Whatever I need to do.
Yeah.
And the book's going to be a success. You know, does God ask this question about you? Verse 28. How long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions?
Come on.
Grace is an amazing thing.
Yep.
Grace is an amazing thing.
Praise God.
Because God has given us years to get it right and figure it out. I need to follow instructions. I just need to close my mouth at certain times and follow instructions. If I'm going to voice my concerning issue, I need to voice it righteously, but I need to follow instructions. Because I don't want God to be up in heaven saying, man, how long is he going to refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? I don't want God to keep saying that until the day I show up before him and he's like, well, you know, you never kept my commands and my instructions.
That's right.
Instead, I want God to say, no, God, you really repented?
Mm-hmm.
You changed? Man, you took hold of it. You softened your heart, you humbled out. You did a lot of humble pie, brother. You did good. You know, guys, in closing, you know, you will cross over into the promised land by the choices that you make today.
That's right.
So choose wisely by simply obeying God and following his instructions.
Amen.
Learn to have respect for your Creator. Amen, guys. Thank you so much.
Amen.